Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
We've got a special guest here in the studio with us, Maren Sanchez. She was a junior at Jonathan Law High School in Milford. On April 25th of 2014, she was killed by a classmate at her locker before school started. As a young television reporter, Melissa was there. She was on the scene, and it was quite a thing. I'm going to let Melissa talk to you all about it. Tell us about it, Melissa.
I mean, it was crazy because, Donna, it was amazing. My sisters actually were at Laurelton Hall, so they had gone into lockdown before any of the situation kind of came to be and had called me. I was at News 12 Connecticut at the time, and we were the first ones to show up, not knowing really what was going on. And all of this was kind of playing out. So first and foremost, it's an honor to have you here, Donna Cimarelli, who is Maren's mom. So thank you for being here this morning. So we are actually coming up on 6 years,
yes,
in the spring, from losing Maren. So first of all of us here at WICC, we are so sorry still for your loss. Horrible story, but tell us about Maren, you know, tell us about her.
So every time somebody asked me that, I get a little choked up, and then I realize how I really feel. And how I really feel is that Maren's energy is stronger than it has ever been, and we all say that as a team on a daily basis. So when I say was and is, I kind of mix the two together because I feel like she is sitting here with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Always very friendly and always the person that would save the day. So if someone was having a hard day or someone was sitting alone at the lunch cafeteria or if someone's boyfriend broke up with them, Maren would be the one that would do her best to save the day and make you smile and make you feel better. So with that type of energy, that's the energy that we've brought into the foundation. You know, that high-spirited, fiery, you know, amazing, fun, get things done kind of energy. So that's who Maren is, was, and will be forever as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And we appreciate you sharing that with us, Donna, because I know it's hard for you. And I have to be honest, I was talking to Glenn a little bit a couple weeks back before we decided to sit down and have this conversation. And we were talking about the timing of this is really beautiful to be able to talk to you for many reasons. But we had the situation in Watertown where a brother and sister were just killed by their mother's live-in boyfriend, which was tragic, and it's horrible. When you hear about these situations going on here and nationally, I mean, what kind of triggers you that this is still a problem?
Yeah. Well, because our mission statement is to defend young women against psychological and emotional manipulation, I'm quite sure that the gentleman who did this to these children was manipulating their mother. And I can only say that from my intuitive thought. I don't know that for sure. But it seems to me that there had to be some type of manipulation going on prior to this incident. So I believe that in our mission statement that we need to get to our girls young and early, and we need to teach them about the word no and what it means. And we also need to teach them to follow their intuition that they were born with, because I think through life you are untaught it, you know, not to listen to your gut. And now we just need to teach them again that it is the right thing. And maybe if, I don't know, maybe if that mom had listened to her gut, this wouldn't have happened. But that is a hard thing for me to say, because there was a lot of things in Maren's case when I didn't listen to my gut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about it. I'm not quite sure what the answer is, but we are going to do everything we can with this foundation to make a difference.
I'd like to say your daughter was beautiful. I mean, her face was in the newspaper for weeks and weeks after it happened. Absolutely gorgeous. I look at you. You and her are almost identical, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I wasn't expecting that, but yeah, thank you so much.
It's amazing. It really, really is. My question to you is, how do you do it every day? You came in here with a big smile on your face and shaking hands, and I find that I really commend you for that, because you know, I know in my case, you know, I lost my father like 10 years ago, and you know, he was 76, died of natural causes. I'm still not over it. I still find myself losing my mind every day with it. How do you do it? It's you amaze me. You amaze me. You really do.
Well, thank you so much. I do that because of Maren. I do that because we work as a team. And physically, she's not here, but energetically, she is. And I'm a firm believer that people change forms. So I really believe that it's almost as if you wanted to liken it to a tea kettle steaming and the water turns to steam. And then if it's cold, it turns to ice. I really believe that that's what people do when they pass. And because of that and the amazing team that I have around me, especially the amazing team of strong women that are on my board, they lift me up every single day and they remind me that this is magic and that we're making a difference and that they're behind me. And really, this is, there's no other choice that I have. It was either two ways after Marion passed, to sink into a hole or to do something. And so I decided that Marion needed me to do this. And so that's why we're all here today.
Well, yeah. God bless you.
Thank
you really are. You're an amazing woman. You really, really are. Tell us about the foundation, the Marion Sanchez Home Foundation. What's that all about?
Well, we started the foundation early on because I had some situations with Marion where it was very clear to me after she passed that she had been being manipulated. And I knew that we had to do something to help young women, but I wasn't exactly sure what the mission statement was going to be until I began to recall conversations that I had had with Marion. And it was clear that she was being manipulated, but she was so kind and so sweet and so nice. And because I had never taught her what manipulation meant, of course, why would we? What do we? We don't talk about things like that. I mean, physical, if someone harms you physically, we talk about it, but we never talk about mentally or psychologically. So I decided that we had to start finding out what it is that young women go through at such a young age when they don't know how to say no and they want to be the peacekeepers and they want to help everyone. But they have to realize that in life there's a balance and boys and girls are brought up differently.
Yeah. Do you mind actually sharing, like, it doesn't have to be specific,
yeah,
but what are some of those signs that like a mom or a dad can look out for that maybe you saw in your situation with Marion?
Yeah. Well, there was quite a few times that I saw this with Marion, but again, I always thought this is a boy who likes a girl that doesn't like him. And
right.
I had that situation when I was Marion's age plenty of times. And eventually the boy gets the hint and he goes away. But I didn't realize that when someone has a mental issue and is obsessed, that things can go drastically wrong. And I did see a few times when Marion was feeling pressured to be this boy's friend, pressured to hang around with him when she didn't want to anymore. Some bizarre behavior on his part that I actually told her that I didn't want her to hang around with him anymore. Because
so they had been friends.
They were
originally
friends.
Yeah.
They were friends. And I believe that he wanted much more, mm-hmm, you know, a teenage boy. But they were friends. And Marion actually became sort of like his private counselor. He would tell her problems and things he was going to do and things he felt. And it affected her, like, emotionally. I came home a few times and she was clearly shaken up. So, yeah, it wasn't good. And I just feel like we just need to tell these girls we have to teach them balance, mm-hmm, in relationships.
Well, and we know just from speaking, again, we're talking to Donna Cimarelli, who is Marion Sanchez's mother. She's behind the Marion Sanchez Home Foundation. And I know that you guys do classes all throughout Connecticut. You guys are very obviously widespread in Connecticut. Any plans to go national? Like, are there ways that, you know, so I went to college in Vermont and would love to have something like on my college campus or, you know, somebody else's. Is that a possibility at some point?
It is. And, you know, I'd really like to let Glenn answer that for a second. Glenn is working with us with our marketing team. He is our marketing team. And we have branched out to UConn on college campuses. And maybe you could just add a little something to that, Glenn.
It's been great to be able to talk to Donna Cimarelli, who is Marion Sanchez's mother. You, I'm sure, remember Marion Sanchez's story. It has been something that has sparked the nation when she passed away in 2014. And they've done some amazing work with their foundation, the Marion Sanchez Home Foundation. And in the studio as well with Donna is Glenn Laudenslager, who is actually the marketing and communications. He kind of runs that with the foundation. And Glenn, we were going to talk to you guys a little bit about what are sort of the next steps, goals. We know that you guys do a lot of work here in Connecticut, but what about other colleges or other states that we know struggle with this same problem?
Yeah, the foundation right now is looking to expand their workshops and lectures to communities across the country. We know how pervasive these issues are. And there's actually a section on the foundation's website that has some of the statistics, because a lot of times we don't, parents don't realize how pervasive violence is against girls and young women in the form of sexual harassment and bullying. And so this is a national crisis. And college campuses are certainly an opportunity where there's, you know, a lot of toxic masculinity and other issues that really impact girls and young women. And so they're really looking to expand their work.
Yeah. And we understand, what are your classes kind of look like? When you say you guys do classes in Connecticut, what does that look like?
Well, there's a self-defense class, and it's led, all the ones in Connecticut have been led by local mixed martial arts champion, Nick Newell. And they teach girls and young women, and even some parents have been in there to learn some basic self-defense techniques to create space in a tough situation, or if someone feels threatened, to create the space you need to get away and get help.
And in any of those classes, do you guys have, I don't want to say like therapists on hand, but, you know, with some of the things that I know, Donna, you were talking about, seeing signs, you know, in some cases, up until what happened to Marin, it didn't sound like there was a lot of physical issues. Maybe I'm wrong, between Marin and this man, this boy, really. It didn't seem like there was physical issues, but there were verbal, mental issues that came up. So in that aspect, what's kind of covered in the classes there?
Well, what we like to do is, most of the time, if we're going to do college campuses or schools or groups of girls, I do a lecture, which is like a 90-minute lecture. And it actually, I work from the book, The Gift of Fear, and I read the first chapter, which is about a young woman who gets attacked and doesn't follow all of the signs and sees the red flags but ignores them and doesn't follow her intuition. And then I go to Marin's timeline, and I talk about Marin's timeline in detail, all of the things that I remember that led up to the day that she passed. So that lecture is really informative, and it's called the Her Self-Awareness Lecture. And then after that, we like to do the class maybe a few days later, which is called the Her Self-Defense Class. They don't always coincide, but we'd like it to in the future. But Nick Newell does talk for about 15 minutes to the girls about being safe, about not getting into cars with strangers, about college campus assaults. So we do a little bit of the Her Self-Awareness Lecture before the classes, but not always. And we do have a female instructor that is our traveling instructor that goes to college campuses with us.
So I have to imagine for these classes, you have to request them. Right.
Yes. Yes.
So is there a way for, if we, you know, for our listeners, we know we have a plethora of listeners who either work for schools or have groups of women. They have moms groups, whatever the case may be. How can they reach out to you guys? Do you have any contact information? Where can they find more about the Marin Sanchez Home Foundation?
Well, I think the best way is to go to the website and email us through there. And we will, you know, we have a pretty good response time. We usually get back within 2 or 3 days. And, you know, we always want to do 15 girls or more for her self-defense class. And I have lectured at Wilton Library and at some of the colleges. So I'm open to lecture wherever there's a group of girls. I actually really like lecturing to the moms and the parents because I can really tell the parent story because I lived it. So I am able to relate very well with the parents. And I think if the parents knew what I know now, it could really help the children.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is that website?
So it's www.marinsanchezhomefoundation.org.
Okay, perfect. Donna and Glenn, thank you both so much for coming in. It really meant a lot to us. I know our listeners appreciated it, and God bless you for the work that you're doing. It makes such a difference, so thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
We appreciate it.
We are proud to have Senator Tony Wong join us every Monday at this time. The senator is with us here on the telephone line. Tony, how you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you. Good morning to you and all.
All right. A pleasure to have you here. A big story this weekend, Newtown High School's football team, one of our top stories. What an incredible game Saturday. The anniversary of Sandy Hook. What were your thoughts on all of this?
It was indeed an emotional and uplifting event. You know, on a somber day that started with rain and fog and a moment of silence to kind of pay respect to those special angels that were tragically lost, and also the constant memory of the challenges that their families have. You know, we're always waiting, and I think you and Melissa did an incredible job kind of articulating the emotion and sharing the feeling that we all feel that's weighed down by sadness, loss, grief. And you know what happened? All of that emotion seemed to have been released by that dramatic last second, almost miracle win that kind of gave way to kind of joyous celebration. And I got to tell you, it was sort of like a cathartic release that it kind of gave an opportunity for a town, a community and even a state as a whole that is trying very hard during this time every year for the past 7 years to balance the respect and the emotion and the traumatic impact it has on the community and all of us that have loved ones that we look at and cherish with the upcoming holiday celebrations of Hanukkah and Christmas. It's always been a very difficult time, and what a wonderful feeling to see students, families, to be able to just celebrate, particularly in Newtown, where it's been so kind of reserved and respectful, just to see kids and families in shouting of joy and excitement. It really is a wonderful feeling to say, hey, thank goodness that these kids, as they go on through the experience of high school, get to celebrate that joy and cling to something that makes them appreciate that Newtown is resilient. Newtown is incredibly prideful, and that Newtown has so many more things to offer. It for me, it was really, you know, I felt like cheering, and you see the video over and over again, that miracle catch and the kids running off the field and they're celebrating. It brought joy and some tears to my eyes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it literally gives me goosebumps. So when I heard about the story over the weekend, I just bursted out crying. But a lot of it wasn't, you know, being sad. It was, like you just said, it kind of turned a lot of those emotions into just, I was so grateful for the town. And it wasn't, you know, a throwaway game. This was purely an incredible team that made this happen. And I just thought it was great that not only locally did every newspaper, news channel, everybody pick this up, but it went national, Tony. I mean, the fact that they were highlighted on the halftime show in last night's game for NFL football, I mean, they should have been. And I hope that this story keeps being told throughout the rest of the season and well into next year. I hope that this is what people will remember as well when we hit the anniversary every year, and not just the horrible things that happen. Of course, we want to remember those children, those educators, everyone who's impacted. But like you said, it turned a really somber day, something that everybody just kind of puts the black cloud over, into here's something that we can, you know, celebrate on this day. And what I thought was amazing, Tony, was I read that some of the kids on that team, they had attended Sandy Hook. They were there for the shooting. One of them, I heard, had a brother who actually was one of the victims. I mean, it just really brought things round circle, I would say, and it was just phenomenal. Now, did you get to go to the game or no?
No, we didn't get to go to the game, but Bummer. Boy, that catch was heard all around the world.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not just the players, as you mentioned, that are impacted. The whole community was impacted, and the whole state and country was. And what this did was kind of like release that emotion. Didn't you feel that, where all the emotions that were weighed down all of a sudden got released and say, we're allowed to celebrate. We're allowed to be joyous about these wonderful accomplishments of young adults, and for them to carry that emotion, and for the rest of the country to hear about Newtown in such an uplifting way. And I also don't want to discount the fact that Darianne played an incredible game, and that Newtown had to come back and score 13 points in the fourth quarter to win. But I also want to acknowledge all the other athletes that played in the football championship, because I want to make sure they don't feel overslighted, that St. Joseph's High School in Trumbull won the Class L championship, that Sheehan High School in Wallingford won the Class S championship, and Weston High School in the local area won their first ever state championship in Class S. So, you know, all of these young athletes that give up their time, work as a team, celebrate the joy and sometimes the loss, but realize that it's a game and that they get to move on. It really is an incredible reminder that sports and community getting together to celebrate wins and losses is and games is very healing and cathartic, but goes back. What Newtown and the high school and those players did, and the coaches and the families did, was poignant because of the date. But also, it really was a healthy dose of holiday cheer that everybody needs.
All right, Tony, we've run out of time this morning, but we thank you so much for taking a few moments, and we'll talk to you Monday morning.
Happy holidays.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right. It's Crime on the Mind. We do it every Monday at this time. With us here on the line is Lieutenant Jim Perez from the Fairfield Police Department. Lieutenant, how you doing this morning, my man?
Good. Good morning. Everything's good. How are you?
We're doing just fine. So glad you are here. We're getting close to the holiday, and people are out there doing their last-minute shopping. How about some holiday shopping security tips? What should last-minute shoppers know?
Well, you know, last-minute shoppers usually means that they are very distracted. So there's a lot of things going on. They're not really thinking right. So there's several things, several lapses in judgment that they have that end up costing them with respect to helping a criminal out. So criminals are opportunists. So we have to make sure that, you know, some extra little, some little safety tips will, or security tips will go a long way in actually keeping you safe and making your holiday happy and not sad. But particularly when, you know, there are a few tips for home, few tips while you're shopping. You know, when you're home, be extra cautious about locking doors and windows. Make sure the holiday gifts aren't seen like in front where everybody can be enticed to kind of come in and try and break in and take them. At night when you go out, turn on the lights, leave a TV on or music or something. When you go away for the holidays this year, make sure their neighbor watches your house, you know, or that they pick up your mail, because that's an important one. That's a big red flag that no one's home. And be wary about strangers asking for charitable donations, because this is a time of year where a lot of scammers actually come out, and they will try to take your money. And they do it in a very aggressive manner by way of, like, you know, spamming you and texting you and calling you and all these things, trying to throw you off. So that's for the home. While you're shopping, one of the most important things that you can do is do not walk around with a lot of packages in your hands where you can't defend yourself. That's often seen as a very big vulnerability for criminals and scammers. And so if you have to go shopping, do it in piecemeal and bring stuff out. And when you put it out in the car, do not put it inside the back seat, because the back seat becomes, remember, you're only separated by a quarter inch of glass. They can see right through. They can grab those gifts easily. Lock them in the trunk. And by the way, you should know this. If you actually go shopping and it's nighttime and you feel nervous, particularly about walking out with a large amount of gifts, most stores will actually, if you ask, will actually escort you out to your car. Because remember, the more people you have with you while you're walking out, the less chances that you'll become a victim. But there are criminals out there that actually park in lots and wait for opportunities. So make sure you look around when you're pulling into a parking lot. Look around before you get out. As you're approaching your car, look around. This is all about security awareness and having an increased foundation in security that can actually become a lifestyle. And this is why I give these tips out. It's very important that people follow these tips, especially when you're distracted. And then, of course, when you're having holiday parties, make sure that, like, you know, you have non-alcoholic beverages available for people. You know, if someone's intoxicated, make sure you put a ring basket. It's called a ring basket, or, you know, a key basket, rather, where you actually put it down. As soon as people, guests come in, they can put their keys on there. If they've had too much to drink, you can either call an Uber but not really give them their keys back. That's something that a lot of people kind of forget. But these are just little things just to keep safe. But most importantly, when you're last-minute shopping, be very careful, because when you're parking in a parking lot, don't just park wherever. You know, if there's a convenient parking spot that's right up in front, but there's a big box truck parked next to you that actually blocks natural surveillance or the ability to see or be seen, don't park there. Go out of the way, park a little bit down more, but you want to get out in an area where it's open and where everybody can see you.
And, Lieutenant, you know, when you're out there doing Christmas shopping, especially at night, it's always a good idea to go with a buddy. You should always go in pairs, right?
Yeah, the buddy system actually works. And you know what? Studies have been made in the past where they've actually demonstrated and shown that if someone has the opportunity or the motive to actually attack you, the introduction of a second person actually cuts it down to almost zero when it's one against one. You know what I mean? If you have another person, because it's just a matter of odds. You know, again, criminals are opportunists. They look for the easiest way out, and if they have any bit of resistance that's coming up or the ability of them getting caught, they're going to not take that on. So obviously, the bigger the crowd, the better you are. Absolutely go out on a buddy system. Do not travel by yourself if you don't have to.
All right, we're talking with Lieutenant Jim Perez of the Fairfield Police Department, talking a little bit about holiday security tips and what last-minute shoppers should know. And another thing is, too, I mean, you know, at the mall, for example, I never let my wife go to the mall by herself. Not so much when you get into the mall, but at the whole parking situation. You know, a lot of these malls are underground when you're parking and you're alone. It's an invite for these guys to do their thing.
It is, and you know what? And mall security, mall officials try to be very good about providing security, but you know they can only go a certain.
Sure.
You know they can only go so far, and then you're limited. So we, as consumers and actual shoppers, have the obligation really to kind of look out for each other, but more importantly, to look out for yourself. And you do that by actually reading up or listening to people, as we're doing now, talking about security and safety. Again, I can't stress this enough. It comes down to really broadening your security foundation, if you even have one at all. Most people understand that most people that go through school and end up heading up corporations and places like that, they never take classes or get education on security, like security, not financial security, but like a security course. And so when it comes to like crime prevention and stuff like that, so it's very important that you actually take the time and look, because most of the stuff that you'll learn and most of the stuff that we're talking about week to week is really common sense in a way. It's just that we get so led by complexities of life that we actually forget. We forget these things. So it's important that they actually, pay attention.
And it's very easy to let your guard down. It really, really is. Sure. Sure.
Well, it is. You know, and unfortunately, that's one of the enemies that works against us is when you let your guard down. Not that I want you to walk around being paranoid all the time, but you have a responsibility. Listen, no police department anywhere in the state can operate successfully in fighting crime by themselves. It has always been about the community helping your police department actually catch criminals. And actually, most of the time, if people may not know this, but most of the time the police become successful, or law enforcement in general, whether on a local, state, or federal level, become successful, it's really because of the coordination, the response, and the help that we actually get from the public. And so that makes a huge difference in our success rate. So I can't emphasize enough, we all need to get in together on this. We need to be aware of our surroundings. If you see something, you have to say something. I like to characterize it as not normal, especially as New Year's approaches. Not normal will save your life. So anything that's not normal or that appears out of the ordinary needs to be reported to law enforcement so that we can certainly follow up on it, and we will follow up.
Lieutenant Jim Perez, we've run out of time, my friend, but if people want more information, what can they do?
Well, a lot of times you can go to your local police department, and usually on their websites they'll have information. So whatever town that is, just go to the website. And you can always go to the FBI.org organization, and they actually have a lot of good tips, too, on holiday safety. So that's my advice for this week.
All right. Sounds good. Lieutenant Perez, thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.